We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
There's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being. This much we know.
I think that it is a good time for those who voted for the ban against gay marriage to sit and reflect and anticipate their great shame and the shame in their grandchildren's eyes if they continue that way.
I feel that this happened for a much bigger reason than baseball. I think God's put me now in a forum where I can be heard, and I hope that kids would not make the same mistake that I made.
To all of the gay and lesbian kids out there tonight who have been told that they are less than by their churches, no matter what anyone tells you, God does love you. Very soon, I promise you, you will have equal rights federally across this great nation of ours.
Well, so far in our conversation about the Augsburg Confession and our pastors' roundtables every Thursday, we've walked through some pretty familiar territory. In fact, as the Augsburg Confession was put together, this document that was supposed to tell the Roman Church, the majority church, what these upstart Lutheran princes and pastors and teachers believed, taught, confessed. As this was being put together, they started out on common ground, things like God. Original sin, a little difference there. The Son of God, not a major difference with their Roman opponents. But when it comes to this article, the fourth in the Augsburg Confession, so-called justification, some real differences. In fact, one might even argue the difference emerges. How do sinners stand before a righteous God? Is it by their works and merits, or solely by the works and merits of another, namely Jesus Christ? The issue of the Reformation. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You're listening to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 26th of February. You can join us during our Pastor's Roundtable in the hour that follows, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. In the second hour of the program, several guests, Colleen Carroll Campbell, will join us to talk about, well, there's a piece of legislation in Missouri to prohibit coerced abortions, and it really is bringing out the rigidity, the ideological rigidity of the so-called pro-choice community there. We'll talk about that along with political correctness and honor killings in Islam. Terry Mattingly will join us to talk about the fad-driven church. He has a very good finger on the pulse of the fad-driven church, wherever you find it. Dr. Stephen Hine will join us for part four of our five-part daily series with him on the cross of Christ today, redemption and ransom. That's coming up in the last half hour of the program. Our call-in number again, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Joining us in studio for our pastor's roundtable this Thursday afternoon, Pastor Peter Kirby. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Carlinville, Illinois. Thanks for coming out to the studio.
It's good to be here.
Along with him in the studio, Pastor Mark Buto, pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church from DuCoin. Two of you drove in a long ways, but you drove the farthest. DuCoin is a fair piece away, isn't it?
About an hour and a half.
Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
And on the phone from even farther away, West Bend, Wisconsin, pastor of Pilgrim Lutheran Church up there, Pastor Joe Fisher. Joe, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you for inviting me.
Joe, it goes to you first. When this fourth article of the Augsburg Confession on justification begins, it says, like so many of the others, our churches teach. And up to this point, there's been a fair amount of agreement. But in this one, on justification, is this our churches teach a direct shot at the Roman opponents? We teach, but you don't teach this.
No, I don't believe it is, Todd. I believe it's a confession of what our churches teach, showing as the Augsburg Confession is confessing that the Lutheran Confession is that of the historic church. It only becomes a slap in the face of Rome if, well, like any true statement is a slap in the face of somebody who is, well, siding with non-truth. So it's only a slap when they, because they are not practicing. It was not an attack at them. It's that we are teaching the truth.
And what were they teaching there, Pastor Fisher?
That justification is by grace through faith on account of Christ solely, not by works or merit. And it comes out in much more detail when you get to the into the apology that now we've got to fight. But the original statement in the Augsburg Confession is simply a confession of the historic Christian faith.
Mark, let's take the term justification apart. How would you explain that, especially given the fact that many people think that that means I'm making an excuse for my behavior? What does justification mean here?
Here it means, Todd, that when God looks at us, instead of seeing our sinfulness, he sees righteousness, but not our righteousness. Rather, he sees somebody else's righteousness, namely that of Jesus Christ. In other words, because we're sinners, he can look at us and see all of our sins, which condemn us, but instead he chooses to look at us and see Christ and all that he's accomplished and done for us by his life, death, and resurrection.
Okay, that's pretty simple, it seems. Pastor Kirby, what was the Roman Church teaching at the time, in a nutshell, about? I mean, they taught justification. What kind of justification were they teaching?
Well, I think there was some confusion as far as the Lutherans were concerned, that they were teaching that your salvation came about through a combination of the grace that God would give you, but also the works that you had to do. And there was different views about that. Some believed that you would do whatever was in your power to reach towards God and to reach towards heaven, and then God would apply his grace and get you the rest of the way there. And others believed that God would start with his grace, but you had to do the rest. You had to, with your good works, pilgrimages, giving, and other types of activity, would make up for what was needed to get all the way to God and to heaven.
So, Pastor Buteau, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with either injecting my cooperation at the beginning or at the end of justification?
Well, the question that we'll ultimately face as human beings standing before the Lord someday is, will the Lord receive me into his kingdom? Will he accept me? Will he? And on what basis will he do that? In other words, do I have to earn his favor? Do I have to show him that I can try hard enough? Do I have to live in such a way that I can prove that I'm a holy and good person? If that's the case, we're all doomed. And when it comes down to it in the depths of our hearts and consciences, that will never be comforting, because I'll never be able to do enough to be able to please God. But if he will receive me into his kingdom on the basis of what someone else has done, namely Jesus, who is the perfect, sinless Son of God, then there's something to have confidence in and trust in.
The phrase that is used, Pastor Fisher, right at the very heart of this article on justification is for Christ's sake. In fact, it's repeated, I believe, twice there, for Christ's sake. Usually, we hear that today as an epithet, as a combination curse word. What does it mean here?
Well, it means that because of the work, the work of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, his perfect life, that for his sake, God looks at us as righteous, as declares us justified for the sake of Jesus, for his work for us, his death on the cross and his resurrection.
Okay, so it is, could you say, because of Christ or in view
on
of Christ?
On account of, sure, I would think so.
All right. Let's see if we can take it apart then, Pastor Fisher. It says, our churches teach that people cannot be justified, it starts negatively, cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works. If we cannot, why not?
Well, ultimately, you cannot, because your works can never be perfect. Only in Christ are we perfect. So we cannot do anything that would please God apart from Christ. All our works are but filthy rags, Isaiah declares so clearly and bluntly. But it also comes down to an issue of if we think our works can add to what God has done, then we make our God small. And our sinful nature loves a small God because he's manageable and you can barter with him and work out a deal, an agreement. When we have a big God, a truly all-knowing God, that scares us to death because he knows us inside and out. And with the doctrine of justification, we need that small God if we want to think we can do something to help him.
So this is it turns justification into cooperation between me, a rather capable man, and God, a less than capable God. Is that how it reads to you, Pastor Kirby?
And I think the issue of that, too, is that you're not ever going to be assured of God's love and his concern for you. You're always going to feel like you have to do something more, and it's going to leave you unsure throughout your life, whereas, you know, trusting in Jesus and what he has done for us, it's completed, it's finished, and we can live in confidence that God is on our side and that he loves us for the sake of Christ.
I said at the beginning, Pastor Buteau, we got about 30 seconds before the break, that this is the real issue of the Reformation. Is that right? Is this at the very heart, finally, the thing that the Reformation ended up really being all about in the end?
Absolutely. What Martin Luther was trying to teach was, this is what separates Christians and the Christian faith from all the other religions of the world. Either God saves us or we save ourselves is what it comes down to. And if we have to save ourselves, there's just no hope there. But if Christ himself saves us, well, then we have all the hope in the world for this life and the life to come.
Pastor Mark Buteau is pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in DuCoin, Illinois. Also in studio with him for our Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday afternoon, the 26th of February, Pastor Peter Kirby, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Carlinville, and on the phone from West Bend, Wisconsin, Pastor Joe Fisher, pastor of Pilgrim Lutheran Church there. We're talking about the Augsburg Confession, our ongoing series with our Pastor's Roundtable today, the fourth article, which is justification. When we come back, we'll spend some more time talking about the words that seem to kind of pile up here. Freely, grace, favor, forgiveness, all of those things, satisfaction for sins. Justification is a big topic. It's the heart and center of the Christian faith. We'll talk more about it after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300, Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan, Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio, St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois, Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana, Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri, Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin, Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa, Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Sponsors. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Jane Krantz, Melvin Krantz, David Anderson Jr., Ken Austin, Carlin Starr, Johnny Smith, Don Smith, Glenn Palmer, and Natalie Piper. Thanks for your support.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, the 26th of February, Pastor's Roundtable, talking about justification, 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Let's delve into some Bible passages on this, Pastor Fisher. And it's been noted that in the actual text of the Augsburg Confession here, they don't do a lot of quoting of Bible passages. They tend to rely on something that you talked about early. This is what the church has always taught. We're simply in line with the church. But let's make the case from the Bible that what is really being taught here, free justification for Christ's sake alone, is in fact what the Bible teaches.
Well, it depends which direction you want to go. You can obviously go to Paul and Romans, man is justified by grace through faith on a, or you can go to Hebrews chapter 11, where there's that great litany of all the Old Testament, what they call heroes of faith chapter, and yet it's all by faith that it is credited to them. Or you can go, if you're against the New Testament for some goofy reason, you can go to Genesis 3:15, and there you have Abraham, right? And he believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. This righteousness has always been a gift from God. It's always been him giving it to us, not us earning it from him. It changes. It's our inheritance, not our salary. You know, you don't earn an inheritance. It's a gift given to you. We are heirs of the kingdom of heaven, not slaves of the kingdom of heaven, or even executives of the kingdom of heaven. It's not our paycheck. It's a gift.
Peter, someone says, and we hear this a lot, and I'm sure that the argument was even made at the time of the Augsburg Confession, well, this is kind of a Pauline teaching. This is Paul teaching. If you go back to the Gospels, you will not find Jesus teaching justification by grace through faith for his sake alone. Paul kind of spun that in his particular wing of Christianity. How do we respond to that?
Well, Jesus is himself the one who works out our justification. So it was his life witness that he came into this world, that he went to the cross, died there for us, and rose from the dead to work out salvation for us, to give it to us freely as a gift. So his work was more focused on the activity that he was doing, his miracles, and the things that he was teaching and saying, but he was pointing to himself as he went about his ministry. You know, I'm the one who was sent by the Father to you know, bring you this good news. So he kept pointing back to himself.
When he says things like, whoever believes in me will not perish, but have eternal life, is Jesus teaching, Pastor Buto, justification by grace through faith?
Absolutely. I mean, everything that Jesus did, as Pastor Kirby mentions, is for our justification. But numerous places, Jesus is always pointing to himself. Sheep can't get along without a shepherd. He's the good shepherd. You have the example of blind people having their eyes open, or the deaf being made to hear, or the dead being raised. More than just simple miracles, these are pointing over and over to the fact that Jesus does the things that we cannot do. We can't make ourselves see or make ourselves hear or raise ourselves from the dead, and yet Jesus does it by his word. It's the same word that brings us into his kingdom, makes us Christians, gives us faith, delivers the forgiveness of sin. So again, in the very ministry that he did is the picture of this justification by faith. In other words, that Jesus himself is the one doing all that we need to be saved and have everlasting life.
So it sounds like you guys are saying, look at Jesus' life, not only in what he teaches, because I think he does teach it explicitly, but look at Jesus' life, a perfect life. Why is he living the perfect life for us if it's not the hinge pin of our salvation?
Todd, if I might, real quick.
Yeah.
When Jesus deals with the rich young man comes to him and says, what must I do to be saved, right? And Jesus says, obey the commandments. And he says, that I've done since I was little, or since I was young, or whatever. And then Jesus says, if you're so arrogant, you know, it's not what he says in the text, but it's basically, if you're so arrogant to believe that, then give all your stuff away and follow me. And does he go away justified? It says he goes away weeping and sad. If you're going to be so arrogant, do you think you can do something? Let's see how far you're willing to take it, because ultimately you're going to have to be perfect. You know, there's Jesus teaching justification by grace through faith. And I can't imagine how somebody can say this is a Pauline teaching. Peter, then you have to deny Peter too, because he says all Scripture is inspired by God. Right? I'm sorry, it got me a little hot. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. I don't mind. It's, I mean, just stay hot the whole time is Fine with me.
Well, let's take some other examples, too. One would be Jesus' parable or story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And in that, the Pharisee points out the things that he does and ultimately then says, you know, and I'm not like that guy over there. But that other guy in the end says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He doesn't talk about what he does, but he throws himself onto the mercy of the Lord. And Jesus says, that was the man that went home justified.
Okay, here's the trump card that often gets slapped down immediately on justification by grace through faith. And I'm sure it was part and parcel of the Roman Catholic response to this very article in the Augsburg Confession. The Apostle James and his epistle, wherein he says, well, if you want to be justified, it is faith and works. Or at least that's what they say he's saying. Pastor Buteau, are Paul and James on different pages when it comes to justification?
No, not at all. And I think as simply as I can put it, what James is saying is faith shows itself in the works that we do, the trust we have in the Lord and his promises and the good works that we do towards our neighbor. Or another way of saying it, faith lives in the promises and receives those promises, and you can see evidence of that in the works. He doesn't say that our standing before God is based on the things we've done. He's saying when we know our standing before God, it will be evident because of the way that we live our lives in terms of good works towards our neighbor and glorifying God.
Go ahead.
Scott, I was just having a discussion earlier with a pastor friend of mine, and we ended up in this discussion on a completely different topic. And you know, the thing that can be pointed out here is breathing. The lack of breathing, is that evidence of death, or is death the cause of the lack of breathing? And James is dealing with that. Faith without works is dead. If you don't have works, you don't have faith. It's not an issue of you can have faith but no works. Well, you have a little faith. No, you don't have any at all. You're dead. You're not breathing. But if you're alive, you're going to be breathing. There's going to be works that will flow. And with the separating of the sheep and the goats, the sheep say, when did we do this? Right?
Okay. Could another analogy be like fruit on a tree? I go out to Craig gave me a peach tree a couple of years ago, and it's grown up in my backyard into a pretty nice little tree. And if I were to go out this spring and discover that it was dead, dried up and brittle, I could not make it alive by hanging fruit on it. I mean, I could go find the nicest peaches in the world, hang them on the tree, but the tree would still be dead. So is James simply saying living trees produce fruit, and no fruit means dead trees?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. That's a good example. You know, part of the thing I've noticed as a pastor is when people want to begin discussing works – and salvation, what they usually have in mind is some works that they think they're doing pretty well, and the person they're having the discussion with isn't doing so well. And I think there's a danger when we want to bring works into the discussion of our salvation that what we're really doing is being sort of closet Pharisees and saying, well, I have a certain standard that I think a Christian ought to be or do or look like, and I'm pretty sure I fit that, but maybe you don't, and that's why we really need to talk about works here, because, you know, and against that we just say, well, I'm sure I don't meet your standard, the Lord's standard, or anybody's standards, but the only standard that I'll be measured by is the standard that Christ himself fulfilled, and that's my hope and confidence.
So is that, Pastor Fisher, why this article on justification begins by excluding strength, merits, and works, and doesn't even really return to the subject of works and goes on to talk exclusively about faith?
I would believe that would be the case. You know, that everything else is going to flow from that gift of faith, that work that the Holy Spirit creates in and through the means of grace to create faith in the believer to bring that which was dead back to life. Then it breathes, or the tree, it bears fruit. The rest of the stuff just flows. It's part of its being.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our pastor's roundtable on justification. Pastor Joe Fisher is with us, along with Pastor Mark Buteau and Pastor Peter Kirby. We would be happy to take your questions and your comments on this Thursday afternoon, the 26th of February. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. And you can email questions and comments to us, talkback@issuesetc.org. 25 more minutes in our pastor's roundtable on justification. Then Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us. We'll talk about two issues. Legislation to criminalize coerced abortions in Missouri. Believe it or not, somebody's against that. Somebody's actually against criminalizing coerced abortions in Missouri. You can guess who. And then the effect of political correctness and Muslim killings on our society. Colleen Carroll Campbell will be our guest. We'll spend a little time after that with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service talking about the fad-driven church. You know, he happens to be a member of a confession that is not fad-driven necessarily. He's Eastern Orthodox. He looks at a lot of people in the Western church and says it's just one fad after another, and guess what? He's right. Dr. Stephen Hine will be our guest as we venture into part four of our five-part daily series with him on the cross of Christ. We'll talk about redemption and ransom. This break is a good time to call or to email us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Pastor John Smithley, Don Stoltz, Jay Nehans, Mrs. Amy Smithley, Lois Bachman, Anthony Hatton, Marilyn Gutz, Pastor Richard Merrill, Mike and Marcia Babler, and Lori Cooperus. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A dark force could be targeting your children through video games. A Japanese company has one available allowing the player to sexually assault women at will. Players can choose to have multiple assailants. The so-called simulator recalls the tears in the eyes of the victim as the activity is graphically depicted. If a pregnancy results, the player must force the victim to have an abortion. If he doesn't, the woman throws him under a train and the message, "Take that, pro-life movement," is given. Thankfully, this is too much for Amazon.com and they removed links to the product. But this should be a horrific reminder to you to closely monitor all your children's video games. Do any provide a stepping stone to this level? Watch what your children consume.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday continues. We're talking about justification. In fact, it has more facets than simply the courtroom, where you are declared righteous for Christ's sake, apart from any works, but solely for Christ's sake, and it is received by faith. We still need to get into the faith aspect of this and the free aspect of this. But the other facets of justification in Scripture multiply. In fact, it seems as though there are as many as one could put your finger down on a page. We were talking about this a little bit during the break about the different metaphors that Scripture employs to talk about this one thing that we're discussing in this hour. What are some of them, Peter?
Some of the metaphors would be, Jesus says, you know, "I am the life," or "I am the light of the world," "I am the bread of life and the water of life." All of those, in a way, are justification. They're creation metaphors that he's giving about how he changes our life in ways telling us that there are deficiencies that we have and that we need what he brings to us. And that helps us, I think, too.
Does it go even deeper than that? Does it go to, I am the light of the world, that apart from him, there is no light? There is simply darkness?
I mean, he is that picture that when God said, let there be light, he was the one who was light in himself. That's the picture also of the book of Revelation, that at the last day or after the last day, that there won't be a need for the sun or the moon in heaven because Jesus will be there in heaven and he will be the light. So he has that, but we need also the light that he brings into our lives.
Pastor Fisher, it seems as though this particular way of talking about our stance before God, the courtroom analogy, if it's only analogy, it must be more than simply an analogy, that God declares us righteous, as you have said, for Christ's sake, solely by grace through faith, is one that a lot of Christians nowadays are unfamiliar with. They tend to think of salvation as a job of reform or akin to remodeling the kitchen or something like that. Does the Bible provide for anything like that, that this is about reform or remodeling?
For remodeling?
Yes.
Absolutely not. The scriptures are very clear that we are sinful and unclean, that we are dead in our trespasses and sin, that it is in baptism where we die with Christ and rise with him in his resurrection. The concept that we can remodel our life, that's again, having that small God that I can help out, garbage that enters into our minds and makes God, well, somebody you don't really fear. And that's another thing that we've lost in our society, is the concept of actually that God is somebody to be feared, not just Freddy Krueger kind of feared, though, but feared because he is the final judge. He is the final statement. And his final statement was made at the cross where Jesus cried out, it is finished, or tetelestai. But I think it was Pastor Kleinig was the first one I heard say this before. The amazing thing is that hell will be filled with people who Jesus died for, whose sins were forgiven, but they rejected it. They chose their own path, their own direction.
The term freely crops up here in this article. People are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith when they believe that they are received into favor, that their sins have been forgiven for Christ's sake. Pastor Buteau, how free is it? I mean, we've got free, and then we have the American concept of freedom or free, which is there are always strings attached.
Well, that's what I learned in high school economics. There's no such thing as a free lunch, Todd. But in the case of our salvation, it is more than 100% free. I mean, when our Lord says on the cross, it is finished, there is literally nothing left for us to do, to accomplish, to participate, to throw in our 2 cents worth, or anything like that. Our Lord has done it, accomplished it, and that's it. It's a done deal.
But, you know, we always buck up against this. This is something that we cannot conceive of in terms of how free this is. Because let's say I go to the store and it says buy one, get one free. I still got to buy one to get one free. Or if I get a coupon that says free, I know that there's going to be some sort of a – they're going to want my email address. They're going to want something from me in exchange for it. And Christians carry this idea around too. They think, yes, it's free, but – maybe God wants something from me afterwards, if not before. What do you say to someone who thinks that way?
Simply remind them what the scriptures do and what they teach. Our Lord does not call us because he expects something from us, or he doesn't call us because he figures that we'll probably turn out okay. As examples, just look at the 12 apostles that he called who, by the time our Lord was dragged off to be crucified, were nowhere to be found. They certainly weren't faithful. You look at the people whom God calls throughout the scriptures, like Abraham, who constantly was trying to figure out his own way of doing things and figuring out his own plan and so on. I think what's essential in understanding justification is that when our Lord does what he does, namely lives a perfect life and dies on the cross for our sins and rises from the dead, he's not doing that to sort of give us an example of how to if we live that way like Jesus does, then God will be pleased with us. His doing it is what makes the Lord pleased with us. In other words, it's because he does it that God counts it, you might say, to our account or credits it to us. And of course, the Holy Spirit is working in our lives to change us and make us better and teach us to live our life for others and to glorify God. But it's not on that basis that God accepts us, only on the basis that our Lord Jesus has already lived a perfect life.
The word faith comes into our conversation so far, and it's right here in the text of the Augsburg Confession, Article 4. What is faith, Peter?
Faith itself is a gift of God. It's kind of like the receiving hand that he gives us to receive the blessings and the gifts that are offered to us in Jesus Christ. It is belief, quite often when it's referred to in the Scriptures, it's, you know, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. No, these that is connected with faith. It is the basis of our understanding of him and receiving all that he has for us.
How would you describe it, Pastor Fisher?
Well, I like to describe it the way the writer of Hebrews describes it. Faith is the understanding. Faith is the evidence of things. Let me just read it. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That's how the writer of Hebrews does in the beginning of chapter 11.
So what does that mean?
Faith, well, what that means is that faith is that which trusts in that which it does not possess. The article, the chapter 11 goes on from there, and it says, and by this the people of old received commendation, and then it lays out the first issue of faith, that God created everything out of nothing. It is believing in that which you cannot hold on to and that which you cannot see and need not see.
So what is not seen in that faith grasps or apprehends here in justification, Peter? What is it that is not being seen, but yet faith has?
I think the problem is what you were referring to before, that as Americans we have a different system that we see operating all around us. If you want to get ahead, you have to work hard. You have to exercise your strength, your activity, in order to make your way in this world. But when it comes to spiritual things, to the gifts that God has for us in Jesus Christ, this is not something that we can earn or work at, but it's something that we simply have to believe what God has done for us. And that's not to say he doesn't ask for our works or use our works, but that follows on our faith. It becomes our response to the blessings that God gives us in Jesus.
This email comes from Charles in Accident, Maryland. Luther beautifully tells us in these words, "This body stand against the fanatics," that when Christ says, "I am the door," or "I am the light of the world," or "I am the way, the truth, and the life," that they are not metaphors. They are realities, every bit as much as "this is my body" is a reality. And Charles goes on, he says, if you want to know what a door, light, the way, the truth, the life, or any of those is like, you look at Jesus. If there is a metaphor, it's the door in my house or the road that runs in front of it. Jesus is never a metaphor. In a similar way, when the Scriptures say that we are justified, ransomed, propitiated, or forgiven, these are not metaphors. They are realities of the atonement. They are not metaphors or even worse, theories. They are what actually happens. If we want to know what ransom really is, if we want to know what it is like, we look at what Jesus does in winning us back from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Kidnaps for ransom in Central America can only be understood in terms of the only true ransom, the cross. What do you think about that, Pastor Buteau? You got about a minute before we go to a break.
That's a very good way of looking at it. I think too often we try to make Jesus into the example of something rather than the main thing. For example, that he's the door. He's the door. And as Charles says, that's every other door that we could walk through or look at is a picture of what Jesus is, namely the door to eternal life, to God's kingdom, and so on. So that's a very helpful way of looking at it. As a reminder, again, to make that Jesus, because he's the one who does everything, he's the one who justifies his perfect life, that he is those things, and we shouldn't make him less than he is.
That's maybe why Holy Scripture will refer to Christ as our righteousness. He doesn't show us righteousness. He doesn't demonstrate righteousness. He doesn't teach us about righteousness. He is our righteousness. What kind of questions or comments do you have on the doctrine of justification? What does this teaching mean to you? I want to hear from you. Call us or email us during this break. 10 more minutes with our pastor's roundtable after this. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll be right back.
Not guilty of being on your street, getting underneath your feet. Not guilty.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor Herb Giesler, Herbert Hart, Archie Bowrett, Janice Bloss, Jack Bloss, Pastor Michael Keith, Francis Zarensko, Megan Hammond, Brody Smith, and Bethany Smith. Thanks for your support.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. Welcome back. 10 more minutes in our Pastor's Roundtable. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday, February the 26th. In about 10 minutes, Colleen Carol Campbell will join us. We'll talk with her about criminalizing coerced abortion. Someone's against it. Terry Mattingly will join us to talk about the fad-driven church, and Dr. Stephen Hine will bring us part four of our five-part daily series with him, Redemption and Ransom, as we talk about the cross of Christ. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. The last phrase here, Pastor Fisher, is God counts this faith for righteousness in His sight. It just doesn't seem fair to me. We can look at people who've spent their entire life trying to lead a God-pleasing life. They don't do the things that God tells them not to do. They do the things that God commands. And in the end, the only thing that counts for righteousness is faith in Jesus Christ. Doesn't seem fair.
Well, first of all, they don't. They're not able to pull that feat off. If they were, then Jesus would not have had to die on the cross. But secondly, it's not fair from a human perspective because we don't earn it. That's what makes it a gift. And He has the ability and the authority and the right to give His gift to anyone He so desires. And so He does. He credits that to us as righteousness in His sight on account of His Son's perfect work. It's not a matter of fairness. It's a matter of God being God.
I think the other problem that we struggle with is that we want to use the great scales in this life. Everything should play off against each other. So if I may do bad things, but I believe that my good works make up for them. But God tells us in Isaiah that all your righteous deeds are like filthy rags before me, because all of our works that we do in this world are tainted by our sin, by the bad things that we do, and we cannot make up for them. We have to have someone else who's going to do that for us.
Pastor Buto, I think about Abraham. I think Paul makes ample use of Abraham when it comes to this whole thing of being justified. And he says that Abraham, if he would have gotten what he had by as a wage, then it would have been something that he earned, and grace would have been null and void. But he says Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. How far can we push this? Faith alone.
Well, what Paul is talking about there and teaching us from the book of Genesis is what Abraham received, he didn't receive because he somehow earned it. He wasn't a particularly faithful guy. In fact, the scriptures teach us that he was called out of idolatry in his former homeland, the land of Ur. But the Lord chose him and brought him into the promised land, gave him finally a son in his old age, Isaac, and continued to bless Abraham. Though Abraham, if you read carefully, is constantly trying to work things out for himself and do things contrary to what God has promised and not actually trusting the Lord. Sometimes, you know, in the book of Hebrews it says, and Abraham, you know, by faith believed God. And I wonder if the author of Hebrews was reading the same book of Genesis that I do, because it seems that Abraham was constantly not trusting God at all. And when you put in that perspective, it reminds us Abraham's a sinner just like everybody else, and God did not choose him because he was somehow special or less sinful or more holy or something like that, but simply out of his grace and of his mercy. And Abraham, by clinging to that Lord who gave him those promises, that's faith. Faith simply says, the promises God makes, those are mine, and I'll live by them.
And maybe it says more, too, about God. You know, the article also talks about grace. It's the grace of God that brings us salvation and justification. And Abraham may have been a frail and faulted man, but it's a testimony to God to choose him and to pour out his blessings upon him.
I think St. Paul says as much when he talks about the promise, even in his old age, counting himself as good as dead. He considered him faithful who had made the promise. Abraham really is not looking at himself at all, but to the one who made the promise. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, then there's a phrase here, Pastor Fisher. By his death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins. But I want to make satisfaction for my own. That is, when I do something wrong, I have a rightful sense of guilt about it, and I kind of want to make it up to God. Does God want any of that?
Well, I guess I would like a little more on that question, because it sounds to me like you're asking whether God expects us or desires that we actually be contrite instead of attrition, contrition.
Well, no, what I'm asking is, after I'm sorry for my sins, I have this impulse to try and make it good.
Well, that's one of the problems we have, is we've gotten caught up as a society in thinking that sin is just the actions that we commit and not the being that we are. And therefore, we think we can make up for what we did wrong by doing something now right. And yet, even when we do that which we think is right, it's wrong. It's not perfectly right. And that's why Christ had to die, because our very nature, going back to your peach tree, if its nature was to produce rotten peaches, that's all it can produce is rotten peaches. And we are, well, rotten. And until that which is dead and rotted is brought back to life in Christ, there is no righteousness in me. I can't make up for anything that I've done wrong by doing something right, because it's wrong in myself. But in Christ, all things are made right. It is his blood that was spilled to redeem me from this empty way of life handed down to me from my parents and their parents, et cetera, et cetera.
So, Pastor Fisher, when it talks about being received into favor, having sins forgiven, what is the favor of God? What does that look like?
Peace. I believe it's peace. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world do I, but I leave with you. And favor with God is having peace with God, knowing that you're no longer fighting to make it right with him, and you're no longer fighting with him saying, why do you judge, why do you demand such things that I can't do, but having peace, a peace that passes, you know, as we say in church, the peace that passes all understanding, all human understanding, a peace that will give us heaven when death stands at our door, a peace that will give us comfort when our loved ones are ill or dying, a peace that can allow us to go to a funeral and know that that's not the end, but another one of the great company of believers has been assembled. That's what I'd look at it as.
Pastor Buteau, our time grows short, but there are many preachers today who promise sometimes quick, sometimes not so quick ways of winning God's favor or getting more of God's favor, and it usually looks something like stop doing bad habits, start engaging in good habits. Does this have anything to do with what Scripture teaches about God's favor?
Those are all good ideas, but they have absolutely nothing to do with earning God's favor. You can't earn God's favor. His favor is upon us only and completely in Jesus Christ. And that's really where this, I guess you might say, the rubber hits the road, is there's always a temptation as a preacher, there's always a temptation as a Christian to have that in the back of your mind that somehow I still got to kind of toss a little something in so God knows I'm sincere or that I'm really trying or whatever. And only the Holy Spirit, you know, through the faithful preaching of the Scriptures, is going to drive that notion out of us so that we only trust in all that Jesus has done for us and nothing else.
Pastor Mark Buteau is pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in DuCoin, Illinois. Thank you so much for being our guest on the Pastor's Roundtable. Pastor Peter Kirby, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Carlinville, Illinois. Thank you for coming over.
My pleasure.
And Pastor Joe Fisher, pastor of Pilgrim Lutheran Church in West Bend, Wisconsin. Thank you so much, Joe.
Hey, thanks for asking and allowing. God bless.
Folks, if you enjoy listening to these weekly Pastors Roundtables, please help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. You can donate online. Our website address is issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift during the season of Lent, that's where we're at. We'll send you a CD with two of my sermons, one for Lent, one for Easter, as a thanks for your support. When it says we are justified, that is, declared righteous, it means declared as righteous as Christ is righteous. Because the righteousness that is reckoned to us is not our own. And it's not even one little bit our own. We contribute nothing whatsoever to it at all. That's what grace means. Grace means God contributes everything, you contribute nothing. And this righteousness, this perfect life of Jesus, this perfect obedience of Jesus, really is reckoned to you by the one who is able to reckon such things. He's able to justify the wicked. How? Because Christ's life substitutes for yours. Because his holiness stands in the place of your sin and rebellion, because his death takes the place of your death, and his resurrection is now your resurrection. This is why God can justify you, me, sinners. He can justify us rightly, reckon us righteous with Christ's own righteousness, and it is sheer righteousness. Not only do you not contribute to it in any way, you can't take away from it either. It is all yours for Christ's sake alone. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. In 7 minutes, stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.